and into prayer and to pray as we ask and receive today the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of your Son Jesus, our eyes be open to recognize the leading of your spirits in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to go to 3:6. Now, 3:6 says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He says the communication of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging. That word acknowledges the word epignosis, which is precise knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Now, we have established that the leading of the Spirit is in Christ. Now, that means that you must have a precise understanding of what it is. That is, you must have an accurate knowledge of what the leading of the Spirit is. This teaching doesn't give you the leading of the Spirit. What it does is to equip you so that you can recognize it, which is the word epignosis, and recognize it effectively. Now, go to Isaiah 48. How we are being led. Or how we are led. Yeah, the same thing. Isaiah 48, where we look at the promise of leading in the Old Testament. Thus said the Lord God, the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, who teaches thee to profit, which leads thee by the way that thou should go. Again, Psalm 32 and verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. And we follow that the words used in the Hebrew there are personal words. In other words, the promise that God is giving here is that he will do, he will take personal charge of the guidance. That is, the man who is in Christ will not be led by a third party or an intermediary. He will be led by God himself. I will. He says, with my eye. I think we studied the meaning of these words earlier on. In Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. I want to look quickly because this teaching is more practical. That is, we have to touch very experiential issues. That's why I just need the doctrinal foundation quickly so we can touch the practical aspect. Ezekiel 36, 36 says, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. And it says, I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. It says, I will put, verse 27, my spirit in you. So the word again, my spirit, is used personally. If I said I'll put the spirit, we probably have to find out what is he talking about. Because we have angels as spirits, Hebrews 1:6 and 7, Hebrews 1:13, they're called ministering spirits. Man also has a spirit, or is a spirit. Demons are spirits, Satan is a spirit. So he says this spirit, we have to find out what is he talking about. But if he says I'll put my spirit, and that is personal to him, within you, and I will cause you to walk. That is, I will make you to act in a certain way. So, last week we said, if we found out that the promise in the Old Testament is personal guidance, we have to find out how. How does will he guide you? Now, let's look at something practical. We can, for instance, expect an owl. Have you ever in your house? See owls before? You see owls? You used to see them. Well, we used to kill them in Berman, correct? So, I mean, it was maybe So you can't tell how to guide you, for instance, using his fingers, because he doesn't have. Or better say, speaking to you in English. So you have to look at the composition or the personality of the person who has taken that responsibility. As scripture says, God, John 4, 23 and 24, God is a spirit. Is that correct? Is that correct? The very first thing you hear about God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says in verse 1, the earth was without form and void in verse 2, right? And it says that God, the spirit of God, hovered upon the surface. So the first activity of God we find is the spirit of God. Where you have the word ruach of God, which is where you find the word wind. So it simply means that God will guide us by his spirit. Right here. God will guide us with his spirit. Now, when we say with his spirit, I told you last week, and don't forget that the word spirit is descriptive of the fact that God's nature is invisible. Is that clear? That is why the words have semblance of the word air, right? Wind. That is that which cannot be seen with the naked eyes. So, if God is a spirit, that is, he is not visible to the naked eye, that means his leading will also not be what? Visible to the naked eye. Now, again, if we say that, we will be a bit careless because we have to say, what is his spirit? Now, by the virtue of being born of God, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh, John 3:6, is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. In fact, look at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. We are doing a study in church in Lagos. What is it again? Prayer and education. And I'm touching this issue. I believe on Sunday we would get to the very fringes of this. 1 Corinthians 6. He says, he had told you in 1 Corinthians 3:16, that you are the temple of God. He says why? He says, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So in 6:19, he says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And you are God. Notice that statement. You are God. And you are not your own. That's why he says you are born with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is of you. So, if your spirit is spirit of God, and that's clear there. Yeah? Alright, so if you say God leads us, don't forget the word leads now, is our normal use of the word lead, when we're going to say if you say God leads us by his spirit, what spirit are we referring to? We're referring to our spirit. Because our spirit is the spirit of God. Let me explain what that means. No, you know the Bible will not say a spirit of God. Because a man's genes is one. So what we have of God are his genes. His DNA is the same. So if we say we have the spirit of God, you know, my dad's DNA is my DNA. I hope you know that. Huh? Alright. So God's spirit is our spirit. Is that clear? Is that clear? Alright. So in Christ, when we say the spirit of God, we have to look at that word in context. So, our spirit is of God. Is that clear? So, if we say we are led by the spirit, alright, we are led by the spirit of God. you are led by the spirit of the man that is born again, the spirit of God. All that is clear enough. Huh? Okay. So, that understood, look at the couple of scriptures. Look at Romans 8:14. So, a man is not born again to require leading. He's not born again, and now he's helpless. No. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, kutesia. Now I told you what adoption does in the spirit of God. Christing you as a son. That is, you and the son will have the same attributes, the same privileges. That's what adoption means. Because if you are just his sons, you didn't have the word kutesia, you assume that the first son can have something different. But it says kutesia, which means that you are in the same place as the son. Is that clear? Okay, so it says, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, have a father, explain that on Sunday. And it says in 16, it says, the spirit bears, itself bears witness with our spirit that we have the children of God. Now again, the word spirit means what? That which is what? Unseen. Not visible to the naked eyes. That's why you find wind, hair, breast, use this, I mean, that they derive themselves from the same root word. Now, that's it. Look at that Luke 23, 37. Luke 24:37. When Jesus rose from the dead, we bear record that he came to the earth alive, right? Physically alive, he rose as a man. He said, God, a man who died for man, and he rose as a man. Now, one day, when they saw him, that is his disciples. Bible says in verse 36, and as the verse spoke, or speak, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now, the 17, and they were terrified and affrighted. That means they were afraid. And supposed that they had seen his spirit. Now, what is that? They supposed that they had seen his spirit, what we call a ghost. They are very high, you ask them to come to you, they are very high. So that is creepy. Do you know this baby? Which was the girl that carries a mask? Also the fantasies. Alright, so now this is the same thing like seeing a ghost. Like, we are seeing a ghost, like somebody who was dead. The thing was here, they said, like, you know, I remember one of my friends used to say this. He said that, he knew that in the heart he thought to change Jesus. Do you know what that is? A lot of Africans think that. Who is going to do this? You know, I don't know what's happening. I have crazy friends. So, he said, that's in his spirit. But now, Jesus responds to what I'm particular about. He says, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet. And it is I myself handling me and see. Now, in handling me and see, what we're going to handle is body. At this point, they have access to his spirit. Are you telling me this? Was Jesus, or is Jesus a spirit? No. Is it so? Does Jesus have a spirit? Okay, better. So it says, for a spirit has no flesh and bones as you see you have. So what we did for us is physical body. Do you get that? But a spirit was inside that body, correct? So how do we, that is, how do we distinguish a spirit being and a non-spirit being? That is, it is tangible to the senses. Is that clear? So the fire they will touch, okay, they will touch it, this is alive. You don't have to even eat. Also, for those who are still seer. So basically, that is, touch me, we touched him. Like, in Thomas's case, he put his hands in right here. He said, my Lord, my side. That is tangible. So that means when you say spirit, it is that which the natural eyes cannot work, see. I saw a picture on Facebook earlier yesterday, and I said somebody who seriously took a picture of a ghost in the midst of people. I said, have you this daft? They now captured it on the camera phone. Okay. So, I mean, people ordinary mosquito, you can't see in the future. They are now seeing, there are even things of folks, they gather together in one church meeting. And they said, they have caught a spirit, the beast in the bottle. So they are so daft. And there was now a fellow finally saying, this cup is a demon spirit. And some folks are there, they say, speaking up or so on. And you now see some liquids. So the person is doing deliverance. I don't know. You see someone is vomiting something spiritual. And then that's the vomiting of a bucket. So see, the spirit is coming up. Something like that spiritual darkness. A spirit is not really kept to the eyes. Right? So, when you say we are led by the spirit, it means we are led outside the senses, all together. Outside the five physical senses. In John 3:8, Jesus said, the wind bloweth where he listed. You hear the sound, but you don't know where it's coming from and where it's going to. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. In Galatians 4:6, it says, because God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba Father. So, we are led by His Spirit, we are led by this Spirit. Now, go to that Romans 8:14. I know I explained this on Sunday, but let me just go by the game. Now, B, after I use the word B, it is particular, that is, it's substantive, that is, we are saying, sometimes it's summarized an earlier discussion. Now, Romans 8, if you look at Romans 8, Romans 8, 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Romans 8, 5. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Same thing in 2. Romans 8, 9. We are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So, the Spirit and the Spirit of life, the same thing. He that has not the Spirit of Christ is none of these. Romans 8, 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit in life because of righteousness. Romans 8, 11. He, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Jesus from the dead will quicken your own mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Romans 8, 11. Romans 8, 12. He said, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors. Alright? To the flesh. You live after the flesh. For so if you through the, if you through the flesh do the five deeds of the body, you shall live. You know, so you see the word the Spirit there. To the Spirit. The Romans 8, 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So you see the word Spirit is referring to the same Spirit as we say. Romans 8, 15 now calls the Spirit of adoption. Romans 8, 16 now says, the Spirit bears witness with our Spirit. That is, the testify of itself. That we are the same, that we are the children of God. Do you understand that? Okay? So when you say this Spirit, you are saying the same thing. Now look at that Romans 8:16. Let's quickly go there. It says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Bears witness. Bears witness. Paul used it in Romans 9:1. my conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. Is the word somatio in the Greek that's subscribed to for you before. S-U-M-A-R-T-U-R-E-A. Somatio. It's an active word. It's actually an activity. To testify. So there is a testifying in our spirit. That we are children of God. An activity that goes on. So we said, what is the inward witness? We said the inward witness is the witness of the human spirit that is born again, or the witness of the Spirit of God, which endorses, refutes, agrees to the fact that is exposed to it. Now, this is what I'm going to say. Please, this is key. The living of the Spirit is not for the Spirit. Because the Spirit already knows. Of course, there are some, that is, it is the Spirit that is communicating. Because the Spirit already knows. Remember when we were going to take down blessings in Lagos? We are telling some blessings here in Lagos that were so ridiculous. It seemed to us that the teacher needed to go back to school. I say you are wrong. I know everybody used to be very proud. So you go for a lesson, the man was going to say, you are wrong. And he didn't take notes. So the man now will be thinking, he said, come and teach us. I just got a little bit of situation. I just cleaned everything he said. So, my answer, that was true. I said, which school are you from? You served into my hand. I said, you sir. And the way you said, you found your face. As you told you, sir. So, you told him, sir. I'm a college man. So, now you said, what do you do? So, what you said, that was the answer I told that class. But the spirit of the man that is born again does not say, come and clean what I've said. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. For the spirit, don't get lost. You see the spirit, just know he's talking about the same thing. The Spirit searching all things, yea, the deep things of God. For let man know the things of a man, save the Spirit of the man which is in him. Let him say the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Let's take verse 12 together. Now, let's take it again. Come on. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things. So we all agree that our Spirit knows. Say the Spirit knows. Okay. Say the Spirit of the man who is born again knows. Say the Spirit knows. So, if the Spirit knows, now, also, the Spirit of the man that is born again is perfect. Nothing can be added to it. It's perfect. Colossians 2:10 says, that spirit is complete in him. In that context. It's perfect. That is, the spirit of man born again is an accomplished task. So, I told you last week that when you find the word work, who does the work? Working is a function of the human soul. Ephesians 2:10. You are the workmanship of God created in Christ. That word workmanship has to be something that is done perfectly. to do works, which God had beforehand ordained that we should walk in them. Now, walk in what? Walk in the good works in the workmanship. So that means the work is a function of the soul, or better still, the mind. Now, listen to this. That means the living, now look at the fruit of the Spirit, for instance. Yes. What fruit is when you have, you know, there's a fruit of the womb. The fruit of the Spirit is love, gentleness, you know, meekness, patience, faith, you know, long suffering. Said against such there is no law. Now, it now says in verse 24, it says, though Christ have crucified the flesh, the lust and the affections thereof. 25 now says, if you are, if then we are, alright, we are in the Spirit, let us therefore walk in the Spirit. That means, already in our spirit, we are talking what is in the Spirit. It now says, walk in the Spirit. Are you getting that? So, the Spirit already is perfect. So, the walk is not initiated in the Spirit. The walk is initiated out of the Spirit. I hope you understand this explanation. Now, that means the living, now, I don't know, Galatians 6, that must be verse 8 or 9. 8, I think. Galatians 8, that's just not the verse. If we live in the Spirit, that word live means we exist in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Galatians 6, verse 8 says, if you sow to the Spirit, you have life everlasting. That shows you that the Spirit is in an everlasting state. Okay? The Spirit is in an everlasting state. Galatians 5, again, verse 2. Galatians 3, pardon me. Galatians 3, verse 2. Receiving the Spirit by the word of the Lord by the end of faith. And we shall finish verse 3. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? So the Spirit is giving such terminologies. Perfect, eternal in status. So the living, listen to me, is from the Spirit for the mind. That the Spirit knows the things of God. Alright? See, the Spirit, my Spirit in Christ, knows the things of God. So that means what the Spirit knows is for the soul to find out, or for the mind to find out. So, your Spirit is leading you. Your Spirit is leading you, your mind. Your Spirit is leading your mind. We look at a few practical things now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says that God will reveal the truth when you are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded your the minds. I think my spiritual growth, Sunday morning first service, I think we've done a great deal on the fact that spiritual growth really is growth of your thinking. If your thinking has not changed, if you like the quoting Bible, and if your thinking takes at least 60 degrees, you are not growing. It is in your thinking that you know whether you are growing or not. And so you see that in your soul, you say, spiritual growth is a growth of knowledge. You say growth, you say age is automatic, growth is what? Deliberate. Age is automatic. You don't contribute to your age. I have some guys, there was one guy like that. I mean, we entered secondary school. The guy was the age
push away to from five. And you know, I mean, if you say you talk, I will wear some manners. Then talk. Older than. But I know, nobody said there's another guy who came from, I think, Museum. That was old, but I was quiet. That didn't try his age. Okay. This one was very quick to tell us, well, he has to be brought back to Nigeria. It was another country. He was already 3 years ahead and all that. So we all assume, this guy is this. So, what brought the cameras back? There's no time test. He said, woefully. You know, woefully is just the something we are going to woefully. He failed. So, age is automatic. Wisdom is the limit. What are people telling you? Do you know my age? Who cares? If you have to tell people your age, the city knows you're not living up to it. There is a spirit in man. Okay? So if you are thinking, as your thinking changed, it doesn't change when you are not good. So the leading of the spirit is for your understanding, your thinking. You are confident here that as you are seated here, you are being led by the Spirit of God, right? As you are here, you are being led by the Spirit of God. Even when you are saying, I'm confused, you are being led to be confused. I'm confused. You know, I was talking to Pastor Lance, I think we're trying to get that side. So only gave us, we are going somewhere. They all have been there before. So going now to the bike marketing model. I said, this is how simple life is. And the guy started thinking us, I will go. Now, as I go, the road now became very narrow, just like the bike being narrow in pressure of the road. So we have to now put it on the four-wheeler. We were trying to reveal the particular you were doing and doing and all that. And I knew that. Did it happen before we came? So the vehicle we took was a picture vehicle. So we were trying to agree that the road was like this, but we didn't know. So we were dodging where the trees, it was casting the car, everybody was quiet. We were complaining, that the truth is that we are going somewhere, we are going to do something. So we had our stopped. He now said, he knows that too. He was talking like an expert. He said, this one, and he said, but you know the way he's saying that, but he knows where that's okay, fine. And I was having to deal with the CSS, so 2 girls now came, he said, no, it's not business. Now we go back to where we came from. Now, the funny thing was, the one we are supposed to attend, we didn't have any stress. But we were nobody here. So he came back and said, this is how life is. You could be laboring in what you are not sent to do. And you will be fulfilled. Do you understand? And you will say, yes. We say, yes. I said, we just needed to have asked the question. Just a question. I will tell your father money. See? Just a question. Please, where are you? You know, you're not saying, when you ask, you do this. Just ask. Yes or no? I know what I know. Walking in power. Walking, better ask. So when you walk out of power. So you say, this is. I was always. You know what I'm saying? What is it? Like a friend of mine said, And now Joseph is saying then that the greatest treasure in life is to do efficiently what you ought not to have done at all. Yeah, and you will do it efficiently. You will live in it. So sometimes then, you know, it's just a question of receiving the name of the Spirit. And it's so simple. What did I know? I believe I taught you last year. Is that, you know, John said that the commandments of God are not grievous. There's a way I was teaching you in the name of the Spirit. For that one, it's the Holy School of the Spirit. So now, sir, you know, we're not teaching mysterious things. I just see stuff. So I said, why do I say, if I don't know anything about God, it doesn't complicate things. It's too complicated. When you give me like 10 principles, it's too much. Now you see this one, and you say, and you don't see me, you say, somebody wants to lead me. I need someone to explain what he's saying. Why not just let the other person lead me? Just lead me, and then you say, I have to be asking questions. Now you come to me and say, sir, I have a dream. I don't understand. I don't forget it. No, God is not into confusion. He's not an author of this. That you have a very popular approach, prophet, evangelist, one man, and the way we are going to another man, the way to me, and then go around. What is that? He says, ah, calm down. They are confused. It's so simple. Do you know that? The reason why people err in doctrine is because scripture is simple. By the way, the scriptures are simple. Do you know the greatest truth I know? Of course, the death of Christ is fundamental. Do you know the greatest truth I know that I know it so well, it's so simple, is that salvation is by faith. You see, that's true that you. Salvation is simple. That is simple. But you're not convinced that no. You know, also, people are teaching that just believe. They said no. Circumcision. You know, to complicate it. You know, God has so many prophets. Jesus just came and says, "I am." Just what? So simple. It is so simple. So the rule is, the rule is just simple that we are the ones that start complicating it. This is simple. It's so simple. God doesn't need you. It's not a, this is not, what's that other way I think about it? It's not one deep teaching, deep. That, ah, come on, see, deep teaching. And you always say, come and teach me how to do it. So, ah. Study, study. It's your realm. What a realm. The man from here is saying that the song that I made, children have you read with this. So, you have to concentrate something as simple as inward witness. If inward witness can be so disregarded. And then I ask someone in their church, I say, so what is the leading? The inward witness, the word in you, is your children. What's wrong for souls? Who can begin things? Say, so I am led by the Spirit. Now, that's it. So, there's 14 ways. 14 ways. 14 ways to be led. Number one, accept we can be led. That's a great revelation. Number two, you should know we can be led. 4 ways to know we can be led. A great revelation. The creatures of the great. Ephesians 1:16, Paul explained that you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. Not only the eyes of your understanding, are the eyes of the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your mind are enlightened. Your spirit does not get enlightened. It is not taught. So, what is that? So, if there's a conflict, if a spirit soul conflict, and for the very kind of spiritual and very conflict, because every student, spirit soul, that's where the conflict is. Now, let us trace a few things. Let's look at the book of Genesis. Listen to me. In the vision Moses related, he said, God said, like me, in verse 3. In all those instances, he was commanding things to happen. He was giving an instruction. So he said, like me, and like responded. Out of nothing, everything responded. God's way, and everything responded out of nothing. Now, when he got to man, and he made man, Genesis 1:26-28, in chapter 2 in Genesis, we said that. Observe something quickly here. Verse 16 and 17, he now gave man a commandment. He said, of every tree of the garden, thou wilt freely eat. In verse 16, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, you will die. You know, up to this point, now he said that to man, and there was no response. Right? Did you see very well? There was no response. Now, the next thing he says, so up to this point, it looked as though God was talking to himself, but he wasn't. Okay. Now, in verse 18, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him an help meet for him. Okay. Verse 19, how the ground left their form, every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, and that was the name thereof. Now, the next thing that happened, now of course, after giving Adam the story, Adam simply responded by his action. So, Adam's, this is key. Adam's recognition of God's leading, of God's voice, was in his action. Are you listening? Do you see something now? The next time he speaks to Adam, then he says, I'm going to help me for him. And he didn't find, but for Adam, there was not found and help me for him. That is, Adam simply responded by not finding what that help me was amongst the animals. Okay, who was to find the help me? Adam would recognize the helpmeet. So Adam had not recognized the helpmeet among the animals. Are you listening? So Adam's response to what God said was his recognition. Now, look at this. He now goes in a deep sleep and brought out, took out of his ribs, closed up the flesh thereof, and then the new, which the Lord God had taken from man, made him a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, notice, Adam said, this is now, making a distinction, right? This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was a man. Now notice that in that recognition, man still has a choice. So the leading of the spirit does not include choice. It's not a choice. Now, notice this.
Adam now voiced out. So this is now the flesh of my flesh and the bone of my bones, which entered, you know, what Paul now referred to in Ephesians 5:31-32 as the great mystery of the church, Christ and his body. So he recognized it. Adam recognized the will of God. Do you understand that? He could recognize it. Are you listening? Are you listening? He could recognize it, that this is now the flesh of my flesh, the book. So the key thing isn't God speaking. It is you doing what? Recognizing what he said. You know what? Adam that is not going to do. See how simple it was. He did. He recognized what God meant. Now let's move forward a little bit more. Now, in Genesis 3, something now happened. Verse 9. God now called out, Adam, where are you? Until now, we didn't find a case of Adam coming to God and God coming to him. So he said, where are you? Now, verse 10 is very critical. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. The very first time he responds. Before now, he was to recognize and act. Now, he responded by saying, I heard your voice in the garden, and I hid myself. Why? I was afraid. That means an element had come into a fellowship with God. So you see. So what happened? What happened? Just back up a few chapter verses before, and you see that there was a communication between Eve and the serpent. And that communication was very simple. As God said, Satan definitely does not act in a vacuum. Satan's number one work is to fight what God said. So the minute they get you to Satan, something happened to the way they recognized. Are you listening? Okay? So, the first thing, where there is now, something had now happened. What has happened to you? I'm going to tell you the mind of the man that's born again. The feeling really, with recognizing the name of the Spirit, are the different experiences in our mind. Are you listening? There are things that have been stored in our minds. Because our minds don't recognize. So it feels like right there. So between the woman, because the woman gave heat to the devil, and then Adam, Bible says, the woman was in deception, Adam was in transgression. So sin had come in. Romans 5:12 says, through one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. Sin is disobedience. In other words, some things were now present. Without fear, without deception, and without sin. Fear, I was afraid. Now, he was not afraid of God before now. So fear was introduced. What was he afraid of? You know, we don't know what we're afraid of. That's how sometimes it's unexplainable. What was he afraid of? So because I was naked. Why would you be afraid that you are naked? Were you not naked before? So, fear comes in, of course, a function of sin consciousness. So, let's see this. Sin consciousness, fear, and deception, they give us a point that they affect our perception of God's words. Sin consciousness, fear, and deception. Some people have been exposed for long deception. Those who go from prophet to prophet, I've seen many of them over the years. The teachers will sit down with them like this and talking to them. They will doubt it. You know, it takes you, you have to, you know, you who have done several Abela, you are Abela. You are allowed to talk. You pump front. They are saying, as you are doing, you take it like this. When I was younger, I was taking it for 1 year in a bath like that, around the DD. So, the man now said that when you finish taking your bath, you throw the sponge away. You must not look back, sir. Like, you look back, that can become pillar of salt. So, you can see like that. I was a young man, very bored actually. So, I said, I was in the first And I was thinking to myself, I said, what is that? I like them a salt, or I just went back. So, as I feel going back, I sincerely, but when you look back, I thought I'm going to take you. You know, you deal with that kind of a growing up. When God is even talking to you, you might be, it can be. If I used to be telling you what to do, it's the same thing. And if you're Joseph, you're Joseph. Until you dream it, it is not there. Those things have now come in between the simplicity of God's guidance. So you put so much trust on the God of intuition. You trust it. And I used to tell people, if all your intuition is negative, it's not of God. I know some people, they've never given positive intuition before. And I was sensing it. And I knew it all. This is the only thing you knew. You've never known and told us that there is a free warehouse for church. Amen? And that somebody just wants to give it away. But who you are knowing is that you seek. And I saw your Sunday, I sense it. That's all you sense. Ah! That's not a good thing. It's not a good. Amen? I dream it. Some things can stand. Fear. If you say, I mean it. What I say is, I was afraid of it. What I say is, I go have it. I mean it. So, those things, now, I said something last week, don't forget. I said, getting results is not as important as how you get it. The gift of your believers, you know, there's nothing believers achieve in this natural world. Unbelievers don't achieve even more. Are you aware of that? Are you aware unbelievers have successful marriages? Oh, you don't think so. Don't think it. Unbelievers raise children. Of course, they have children born again. Unbelievers have successful businesses. Many of them are very intelligent. They beat us in school. You don't find it. You don't want to say, look at that, even the whole university. And you have told, you have been told that the children of this world are going to tell our Lord, they are taking it away. So the real issue is not, notice how poor they are rich, for instance. You don't need to distribute to each Christian, no rich Christian. It is there in their works. So the thing is not as much as the results you get. But how did you get it? How did you arrive at it? I can disobey God and be successful. I can obey God and not be successful. Does that shock you? That is short. There is no success for me in the natural. Do you understand? So, the thing really is not the result you got.
Because you know, if you stand before Jesus, know about how many times you did that. It's really how did you arrive at the things you did? Do you understand? That's why Paul is saying it is the secret cancers of the heart that will be made manifest. Not the physical things that we see. Please look at what I'm saying here. Let me share. It is not the results you got as much as how did you get it. Amen. So let's go back to Adam now. So here's two in the way. So sin consciousness affects our recognition. Now, man now came in the senses. So let's come to the new creation. The new creation's mind or renewed will function like the heart of the unbeliever. All renewed. Do you know some believers use F word? Do you know that? So even if you know it's wrong, they don't have a single record. So, the thing is, in the new creation, 1 Peter 3 says, so, sin, now what is sin? Sin consciousness of the believer, and fear. If you are afraid, you can't recognize the need of the Spirit. You can't. Because fear is not of God. No, Pastor, I was only being in you. Fear is real. If you are afraid, you can't recognize. You can't. We have to give you the testimony of it. I think it was after 9/11. We had 9/11 shook America. We shook the whole of America. Ah! So she was about to board a plane. So she said, she just says that nobody's being with that thing. Like, even if something is going to happen, even. She said she stopped. She said, yeah. That there are two things she knows. That if she gets this place, he will give his angels charge over her. So why is she feeling like that? She needs to find out. So she asked him to win. She said she took a stranger and whatever. Just pray in terms that is this fear or is it a leading of the spirit? So the longer she prayed in the spirit, for a while, the thing just quieted. Just like that, it was actually 9/11 fear. She was very on the plane as she went. You know what I'm saying? So, just fear. Fear can appear to you like God checking you. The more you able is. And you know that through those fear space in your heart, by speaking and by thinking, by speaking, by saying it. Fear is that born to speak it. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. Amen? Okay? So fear. And seeing consciousness. Seeing consciousness. Do you know what's your living? You don't know what talks to them. You don't think you should. So, and you know when you grow up in where you have when you have in the church, where you have in the Orthodox church, you can have new leader, advocate, archbishop. So the level is how they're supposed to be. Or you come from large gathering churches, where you have senior prophets, senior prophets, evangelists, Saint John, apostle, superior apostle. So you do not thinking you have labels. You have got the Pentecostal. And again, they do the same thing for the greater churches. You have even senior them now. If you haven't taken up the churches now, you have reduced Anglican Church to small boy. You can take 10 offerings in one service. You know, in those days, we used to criticize the most Anglican Church and other churches. We criticize them that, oh, too many announcements, too many side attractions. There are no more preaching. What is it? But when you might even be talking about national issues, you know, it's the same thing now. But these are just the same thing. A lot of dance, a lot of music, they just do too well. Not the word of God necessarily. A short service. Jump, like mass. Very many mass. You know the same thing. So, the man of God. The man of God is not the one that speaks. But he talks. God said. Somebody was saying that, I'm not saying it's disparaging this man of God. But imagine somebody saying this about Pastor Libre. I just got a lot, so this is just a reference. He said, Daddy said to Daddy Gio. Who is the senior daddy? Yeah. I mean, that's how funny people are. That's the person God talks to you. It is just the small things that come to you. But the corporate issues talk to that person. That's true consciousness. So when you do that, because you have done something wrong, God can't talk to you. That God is going to beat you. He's beating you right now. So he is keeping malice. Soul consciousness. Do you know? Adam sinned and God talked to him. He talked to you. He has not talked to you. He talked to you. But the consciousness of sin will affect your recognition. Because you can't start to myself. You will give heed to sin consciousness. If you allow it to dominate your thoughts. So now there. Yes, so in the new creation, first Peter 3, Peter highlights this in verse 3. Which adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of God. Let not be the outward adorning of God. Or wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. Verse 4 says, let it be the hidden man of the heart. That word is cryptos. That which is hidden in me. I mean, kept in concealed. In that which is not corruptible, even of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So what is of value to God in the spirit? The spirit. In the sight of God. So, God's leading is in the spirit. Always. And it comes with incorruptible. So, the soul is the issue. That's why it comes with cryptos. The mind is the issue. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:13. We're going to end up there eventually. It says, look at that 1 Corinthians 13:13 too. It says, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands how he in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, in verse 14, it says, if I speak in tongues, if I pray in tongues in the spirit, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. My understanding is unfruitful. Let's look at an instance. My understanding is unfruitful. So what the issue is not the spirit. The spirit is, he knows all things. Is my understanding. And my understanding is my making. I'm the one that influences my understanding. Is my making. Now look at one instance, and this is, okay, we'll come back to that 1 Corinthians 13 later. But look at this instance.
First Kings 18. 19, actually. This will be an example there. Elijah, 1 Kings 19. Elijah went to hear what God had to say. So go first, verse 11, upon and stand upon the mount before the Lord. The Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. It was having Elijah who found out. Right? He found out. You know that God said, I'm not there. He found out. And the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind and earthquake, the Lord was in the wind. After the earthquake, the fire, the Lord was in the wind. After the fire, a still small voice. Now, you can see this. The issue was Elijah decided this, trying to decipher what, how God was going to talk to him. So, he gradually found what God was saying in the midst of what God was doing. He found it. So it was his own doing to find out the still small voice. Now, let's put it here and say this. That the earthquake, the fire, and the wind, this is just to explain, are in his mind. The spirit is always precise, but not the mind. So, oftentimes, where the issue is, the conflict is in the mind. Now, look at the case of Paul. Okay, not Paul did that. We said, precision and recognition, good. I said you said that, I think I was using my word. Precision and recognition are usually not precise. So, you grow to fully comprehend it. For some of us, we like to hear voices. You take a trip somewhere, you want to hear all that you have to say for you. That's not, I think it doesn't work. You have to pay attention daily. Even after you go to Europe, you come to Israel. You still have to pay attention daily. You get it? Now look at John 12. How the conversion can be taught. In John 12, God spoke to Jesus and people were there. The Father spoke to Jesus and people were there. John 12, verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, I will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others, an angel spoke to. Look at the different people. It thundered. An angel spoke to him. Where were you read it? Just like in Paul's case, those around him. They heard it, but their recognition was faulty. So, recognition can be, it can be like that. It may not be precise. Everyone listen to me like, look, today, you have heard God speak to you in this service before you came in. The issue was learning to recognize it. So, listen. Do you know that? Because God is telling the best, He doesn't give us appointment to talk. Let's tell you that so. Let us know as I was. Let me look at my schedule on Wednesday. Okay, so let's make it Friday to make it Saturday after the Arsenal game. That's good. But I think God can say that. So really, you also let's talk by say, for now, my mouth is tired and I have not been talking to the world's mom of words. I think it's a new word, so let's talk like, I know too much talking is not good. I don't want to be talkative. That's just me. So there are no specific periods. You know that is when you prepare to pay attention, particularly in marriage. A friend of mine said, he said the only time you need people contact the supernatural in their lives is marital decisions. He said we can fast, slow, everything together. Now, what they now want to do is attention. Now, you're not paying consistent attention. Okay, don't be sure on that. Let me just leave that. Look at that, Matthew 17. After God said, this is my beloved son, you know what it is, here you go. Know what the guy said? The first time in tabernacle. See the repetition. First time in tabernacle. One for you, one for Moses, one for you, I will be watching. Just go. He was now the second Peter that Peter said he heard the word. He was now clear what he heard. How many years? So, recognition can be, that's where the issue is. You can't know all on a Sunday morning, even if you wear a hat. So, 2:20 says, you have an unction and you really want to know all things. 2:27 says, the anointing will see when it abides in you, and you need not any man teach you. Of course, I told you that that is referring to the first prophets in the context of it. However, it is still applicable that you have an unction from the Holy One. You are first initiated of God to know. What it is, you know. You say, I know. If you say that often, your mind will keep quiet. Because your mind knows that it's too difficult to talk about it. I know. Your mind is silenced. Because now you are speaking faith. The spirit of faith, which is the spirit of the man that is born again. So I know. Hallelujah. Okay, now see this. We are Acts 9. We will go through some examples now. Okay, go ahead. Acts 9. Ananias, this is the same person. Ananias had Jesus talk to him about Paul. Acts 9, 15 and 16. Go thy way, he's a chosen person unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings, children of Israel, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now that's Acts 9. Now Paul, Acts 13. Separate me, verse 2, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. The new detail, Barnabas. Okay? Are you listening? Okay? Acts 22, look at Paul's. Paul's story. Arise, verse 10, and go to Barnabas who is a bed, shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for you to do. Then verse 18, said unto him, make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for thee will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Verse 21, depart, for I will send thee far ends of the Gentiles. You see, some details were now added along the way. Are you following this? Good. Now look at Acts 16, just in between. Acts 16:6. In between the details, we now had Acts 16:6. When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Lycia, they were stopped. He said they have come to Lycia, verse 7. They are said to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not to be able to disturb their face and stopped them. No. Verse 9. The vision appeared to Paul in the night, saying, there stood a man in Macedonia and told him, saying, pardon me, come over to Macedonia and help us. So the details are coming out. You know, everything, it looks like, you know, different things at different times. Okay? That's Acts 16. Acts 18:5. Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Pressed in the Spirit. In the Spirit. So, did Jesus come out that time for different issues? Acts 20. The underlying truth is that a believer must be ready to do the will of God in spite and despite. In spite of what his friends will say, in spite of what his family will say, in spite of what his colleagues at work will say, in spite of how his mind wanders, a believer must be ready. Can you tell me to say this? That every positive Christian action starts with a decision. Now that decision will be this. You say, well, leave and I sink or swim, go up and go under, during the hell of the high water, I will stay with the will of God. You have to be ready, because everyone is not going to look alike, but you must be ready that I will stay with the will of God. It is often a lack of taking a firm decision like that that makes most of us possible, that will waste years. Because God will not alter your will because of your disposition. The real altar is real. So you must be ready. Just like Paul, ready. At the point, let's go. At the point, don't go. He was just ready. He was just ready to listen to the Spirit. He was just ready to listen to the will of God. Now look at that Acts 20. Come back, Acts 20. Let's study this text. 22. And now, behold, Acts 22. I go bound where? Now, where is the Spirit? Huh? Don't touch your belly. The Spirit is within you, right? I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. That word, go bound in Jerusalem, as I said, in the Spirit is I'm compelled. I'm compelled in the Spirit. Or to Jerusalem. Now look at the statement. Not knowing the things that shall befall me. Where is that not knowing? Huh? Where is the compelling? No. We lost it. It is from his spirit to his. I said that with you. I probably just shocked you. It is from. That is his spirit to his mind. But the man is logical, is wondering, why are we going to Jerusalem? So the compelling is somewhere. Is that clear? So we can see where the conflict is. Not knowing. Because the mind wants to know why. Not knowing the things that should befall me. Are you listening? Because the mind is logical. So, who is compelling your mind? The spirit born again. Jerusalem. Not knowing the things that should befall you. 23. Saying that the Holy Ghost, or Francis, witness in every single saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. So that utterance is the right part of man. Huh? Fine. The utterance was for the mind. Because prophecy is for where? Prophecy is for the mind. So prophecy is for the mind. That means utterances clarify the impressions we have to our minds. They clarify it. How many of you have seen utterances just clarify things for you? They just clarify it. Oh, that's why you now say, oh, you have known something earlier. So when the prophecy now came out in clear words, it was in clear words to where? To your mind. So, now, listen. In the spirit, to the mind, the spirit of the mind is no. An impression. Prophecy already involves the mind. Because it comes out in human communication. So the prophecy is, what prophecy is doing? The prophecy is faxing out for the mind. Faxing the mind out. That this is what we were saying. 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 In a language comprehensible to the mind.
Oh, okay.
Feel that? When the mind goes that way, you can say, ah, bonds, an affliction, fear. That means you go. You know, allow your mind to behave what the body and you don't give you the meaning of the word bonds and affliction. You find out the word bond, financial bond. So, prophecy clarifies it. Same thing for Timothy. Prophecy have gone before on you. 1 Timothy 4:14, prophecy, the gift in you. So, what the prophecy does is clarify. Clarify with facts. Facts. Acts 13:2, separate me, Barabbas and Saul, for the work where to have called them. Prophecy. Was there a leading in their spirit before Acts 13? Yes. What prophecy do? It clarified. Separate me. So every time you go for a meeting or you give a prophecy or not, the other question is given on yourself. It's to give you facts. To give you facts. But before that happened, there was a leading from your spirit to your mind. There was. You knew. You didn't, that your name should be aware. But you didn't have the facts. Look at Paul's instance. Acts 21. Just the next chapter. He's going, and the Bible says in verse 4, some disciples who through the Spirit said to Paul he should not go to Jerusalem. Now, let's see what they did. Let's see what they did. They must have done tongues and interpretation, right? Huh? Paul was bound in the Spirit. They spoke utterances to the effect that he should not go. Now, do you agree with me that in their options they knew they were struggling? So what happened? What must have happened was, we're going to see that, this their perception of the options was what they now told them. People can give you their own perception. It doesn't mean they didn't speak by the Spirit. It just simply meant that they spoke by the Spirit, they spoke their perception. That means utterances also can invert. See, you know the human mind. It can invert a man's perception. But the Paul says that when someone prophesies, you know, you don't judge tongues. But first of all, when you judge prophecy, when it comes, you judge it. You don't judge tongues. So there are no people that are in judging tongues or the many tongues or even the tongues. But you judge the prophecy because it's the one that carries in it the facts and the information. Then look at what Agabus said. Agabus said, verse 11. The verse 11 goes to 11. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owned this battle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Meaning, that said, did you tell me what to do? Meaning, did you tell me what to do? Look, in Acts 11, 19, Agabus gave the prophecy, did you tell me what to do? He just said there would be crises, several crises in the earth. It was not the elders that knew what to do. Do you understand? So he wasn't telling you what to do, he was only revealing facts that would happen to him. Do you know up to this point, Paul had a choice not to go? So leaving only presents a choice. You are not stripped of your choice. You are not. You can't see God say,
Marry ready? No. Yes, you can pray about money and you are okay in your spirit about money. And you can see why that man does it. Because Joseph has money. So let's do it. It is still your choice. You can have a reason to go to Saudi Arabia or go to Kuwait, and you know. And then somebody comes all the way from Canada and gives you scholarship. Free, all express free truth. It is still your choice. You don't need to play with rush. You don't need to get to Canada, then you will have skibbies, no skibbies. No skibbies. Oh, thank God you know. Don't mean that you go to Canada, then you will fail. No. You can succeed. You can be a PhD professor in Canada, but you are on your own. Do you get it? The real issue is, what is in your spirit? That's the real issue. That's nothing to do with getting fantabulous results or not. You know, because many Saudis are used to judging things by results. I'm telling you, if Paul were to be this age, he would be called a field minister. How do you know that? In fact, when he was arrested, he will see the things he was teaching. He knew that if God is behind the man, the man is saints. In the man's way is peace, the Lord. How good are our investors and fellows? No, we are peace with you. What? This is what he said. How can a man? Now, Paul was led by the Spirit to please him. Do you know? He would be a failure. Imagine he wanted to go to Asia and they had already prepared the meat. Everything was set. He now didn't do. I know Nigerian minister like that. He went to do better healing. They have planned the meeting. They said they did the lockdown and better healing told them. He was not left to come. The man cut off the relationship with you. Then he said, it wasn't yet. So, what's the meeting? You see, you are prepared. You are too nervous, you are not yet. That man is too fake. He was not yet. The man outlived the man. He was not yet. And he said, face as going into the nations. We are going out of America. Do you understand? Paul's influence is still in the earth. So it's not about getting all those worldly results. A man can be as successful as you are without an inherent Christ. Is that not true? Amen. So in this ministry, what we really do is to glorify him. At the end of the day. Acts 27. I just went to the scripture. First Paul is in a ship. Look at what the first 2 men. Verse 10. Sirs, I'll come on this next week a bit more. I perceive, which I said, that this village will be hurt and much damage, not only of the lady and ship, but also of our lives. Can you listen to me? So I perceive. But look at 21. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of you can use for fast. He stood forth in the midst of them and said, sir, you should have acted unto me, and not have lived some creeds, and to have done this arm and loss. But now I judge to be a good chair. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep.
For there stood by me this night the angel of God, which I am, and whom I serve, say, fear not, Paul, that thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that say thee. Now, do you know that whether you, Paul says something in verse 10, but his perception is not accurate. Are you saying it? But the vision clarified it. That when you sense something, you sense a loss, but you added lies. Lies are not involved. There is no difference in the living in the spirit and the vision. The difference is in his perception. He perceived it included lies. The angel said no. Everything will be lost, but not the lies. Are you listening? Are you getting that? So in our recognition, we may not be precise. Are you listening? He wasn't precise. So, the law was not accurate, but was he led? He was. So sometimes I'm led, but I am not precise. And I tell you something that before, between verse 10 and verse 21, Paul must have found out. He's scared to know. He's scared to know is what happened in verse 21. So we can see that to perceive is our own recognition, right? To perceive is our recognition. Sometimes we just need a few more details. So, your perception is my recognition. I must get rid of the following. I must get rid of fear. 2 Timothy 1, since God has not given to all the spirit of fear, fear is not of God. You must deal with it. I must deal with fear. The little fear interferes in my recognition. It becomes corrupted. I must deal with fear. I must deal with fear. I remember a lady, I don't know why I'm talking about this lady, on the wedding day in the morning, she just said, she wasn't sure again. Never assure yourself. I'm just reading. But the point is, I believe she probably had heard some things. Well, you can just hear some things. You can know some things. And I know. And then you have to do some. You know? So sometimes you deal with fear. You deal with spirit conscious and mission itself, and you deal with doubt. You must deal with those things. So you will need to also walk by faith. Yes, even after the ministry, a lot of people are in the ministry, they know in that they come out. If you can't do it, come on, you keep coming out. You sense in your heart what's calling you. And then you are playing, you got my line. They lay there, and they delay the game. But they are not dealt, they are not dealt with worldliness. In worldliness. You just say, is most of my time. So you can just say, the problem is, so if I respond to the call of God to ministry, my dressing will change. I won't go to the movies. The dream. So, as you are starting the Bible, you just sense there's more to be done. After a while, you can quieten your conscience about it. And your conscience will not respond to you. So, you must deal with worldliness. That's why I say, look, someone told me, that is it. I mean, it's a sad story, but I have to say. He just kept telling us, this chamber that was very much used of God. I mean, used of God, mighty used of God. So, along the line, we had challenges, you know, here and there. And of course, people like to demystify the man of God. I hope you know. They like it though. I bet they are born again. You know, to demystify the man. Is it not this? You know, they just want the man to be organized. So when that happened, he had a great complex. So he kept saying, he will come back to the ministry, but he must be less. He must have money. Now he wants to show those who think they can, you know, I will show them. I told you. I said, Satan is the God of this world. He will keep it far from you. He will keep it far from you. You will be getting near. And yeah, he did, he died. He's a bosom friend. So, you will know, I believe that every day of his life, as he woke up, he knew. But they're saying, I love you in those scriptures. Just to live by the Lord, I know I'm safe forever. So I can just clap the face of God and the righteousness of God. Stupidity. You are playing with the God of this world. Do you understand? The devil of name was the first person that explained the eternal salvation to me. And he fought over it for weeks before I became saved forever. So it's a question of, you know, I'm not saying that to say that which is a little bit of money. No, not that. But you will know. As I'm taking some, I don't know where I'm traveling at the time. The people were ready. I kept telling myself, I will not pray in understanding. So because I tell my other things in understanding, it will be clear to myself what I'm supposed to do. So anyway, I just to myself, I say, if you do so, it's for your good. God does not become more godish by you obeying. No, God does not become greater when you obey. That is not because you need this thing. How will you obey? You are the one that needs to listen for your own good. So I never told myself, don't be stupid. So you are. So really, you deal with doubt, sin consciousness. What God says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may recognize the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. So when you renew your mind, it's so that you will recognize. So when you come to church often, and you hear God's word, and you soak yourself in God's word, as we say, you hear it often. You know what it does to you? It makes it easier for you to realize what God is saying to you. I say it often. The voice in the scriptures is the voice that I speak to you. So if you can recognize the one in the scriptures, you will know. So really, what you do when you study the word of God is that you are preparing your mind to recognize. But you see, when you walk like this in Atlanta for 30 days, and you move to 24, and then you move to all sorts of things, that's where to be required your judgment. Whatever is the overwhelming thought in your mind is what inspires your direction in life. So honestly. Let's just quickly look at some Acts 13. Now, notice what we were in. I mentioned it last week. Acts 13, verse 1. In verse 2, it says, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. We were praying. And then the Holy Ghost said. Now, the reason they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, let me tell you the typical thing of what you do. You know, they were not ministering the Lord and fasting to hear him. They were in the regular course of spiritual activity. That was why, when the Holy Ghost spoke, he said, "Praise the Lord!" And they went to. They still prayed and fasted after. Because prayer and fasting are not to get results. They are regular activities of born-again men. They are not to get results. So, what was happening there was that they were shaping and sharpening their recognition. I will say, I said, prayer and fasting are regulars. They are not means to an end. You know, you can do yourself a blessing, right? You just take some days to pray and fast, just to study and pray in tongues more. You will recognize much more in your mind. Now, at this moment, you empower your mind to recognize what is in your spirit for it. Prayer and fasting. So you know, they are not praying for anything, you just pray. Prayer, when you stop praying for things and you just pray in fellowship. You just pray in fellowship. Just pray in the spirit. Just pray in fellowship. Just pray in fellowship. And I don't see those. I came in like 4 or 5, I didn't find me, I left home earlier to go and pray. So he came, now stood at the gate, now open the door. So when he comes from, he said, I want to pray. Say, pray. Say, who are you talking about? Say, how many sins have you committed? You don't find them. A young boy, I was a teenager then. What are you saying? Oh, it's true. It's very similar. So, your son's life is just one way. One way. That's how you see it. The guy who pray, just pray about what? Just fellowship. It's those prayers that you pray that now result in years and years after that. Do you get it? Years and years. So the mother had told me something years ago. I will never forget. He said to you, but I said to you, but I said to you, he said, Nadira, he will not bad, Nadira. That's the case. He's talk. He said, Nadira, he will not bad, Nadira. Pray so that you will not pray. When Jesus was sleeping, when he was praying, the disciples were sleeping. When he was sleeping, he was praying. Jesus was not praying about food or about he wants to get a visa. It was fellowship. Let's cultivate just praying out in fellowship. And I know something. If you pray for others, when you are praying for others, you are actually in fellowship with them. When you are praying for different nations or ministers or meetings, you seem to you hear things about yourself. It works like that. It works like that. So, yes, I want to talk about tongues, but let's just leave that. But I think that makes sense. That's just what 14:14 that says, your understanding is increasing. Your understanding can hear, but it doesn't make sense to it. So, leaning on the screen may not make sense oftentimes to you because your mind is logical. Your mind says, why? What? Wait. How? This. That. This. That. This. That's what your mind is not repeating from you. It doesn't make sense. Like, why should it be like this? Why should it be like that? That's your mind. Amen. Are you listening? So the issue is recognition. And you are the one that will deal with that recognition yourself. I said deal with sin consciousness. Deal with fear. Amen. I know that people here, you need to deal with fear. You need to deal with fear. You love him, you're still going to do something, and you know your heart is where you're going to do. And you want to do a business, and then somebody just says something about someone starting one business, and you just come to you. Hey! So God is telling me something. How? Be anxious for me. Amen. You have to deal with that first. Be anxious for me. That's such a good. That's your name. Pray as a person of God's evening. Let your request be made known unto God. If you need to pray before you know who to marry. You pray when you find out who you are to marry. You pray before you get married. When you are married, after you get married, you are still praying. Do you understand? Amen.
So it doesn't stop. There are different kinds of prayer for different seasons. Amen. So I know, because I am led of the Spirit of God. I recognize the leading of the Spirit. From tonight, my recognition is better, much more precise. I don't need to fear. I don't need to doubt. Amen. Yeah, as I was coming today, you know, because I was in traffic and I was thinking about this teaching, and so it came to my heart to just share. See, God's plan for our lives are different. Don't try to be like a sibling, a colleague. God's plan for your life is different. God's plan for your life is different. Amen. You hear that? God's plan for your life is different. God's plan for your life is different. Do not try to do what somebody is doing. Now, don't wrong in following Christian examples, so don't get me wrong. But don't try to do what someone is doing, you know, because there's a societal where people will do something. No. Follow how God is leading you in that area. There are personal decisions, you get me wrong. Follow how God is. I feel like I went to talk to me about Pastor Pinson and I say, what's God telling you? Oftentimes, you don't have an answer. I'm wondering, what are you going to me for? What do you think I am? Chief leader of the body of Christ? I'm going to ask you, what is in your spirit about this matter? You have to find out. Amen. So, don't tell me, your mommy said, your daddy said, your uncle said, your wife said, your uncle. What is God telling you? What is in your own spirit? It's your own, your life is your own. In that context, it belongs to God. No? God's plan for your life is God's plan for your life. You recognize that. Amen. Let's just pray the Holy Ghost as we close. Pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost.